personal issue come up at the last minute. So unfortunately for you, you're going to have to listen to me stumble through his hard work. So I'll do as best as I can with this. But the project that he's been working on, as well as some other folks in our consumer marketing group at Cotton Incorporated, is trying to get a handle on what's been going on in terms of consumer demand, particularly in the wake of the price spike that we had in 2010 and 2011. Following the price spike, we did see some substitution away from cotton towards other fibers. And what we're trying to do with this work is to get a grip using some of our proprietary research at Cotton Incorporated regarding how cotton share may have changed in terms of the menswear and womenswear markets and how consumers may be responding to that. So here's sort of the bottom line or the top level picture. Taking a look at cotton's market share in the apparel and home textiles market, what we can see is that cotton's lost somewhere between 5 and 10 percentage points in both of these categories. So this data that we're showing you here is from the USDA. It's based on import data, and while these data are one of the best sources we have for tracking market share, it does have a few limitations. One of those is relates to how these import data are classified. The most detail that we can get is according to fiber dominance. So we can take a look at apparel products that are 50% or more cotton content compared to those that may be 50% or more man-made content. That gives us an idea about share, but we may want to take a little bit closer look and see how some of those blends may have changed. So let me take a look at a shift from an 80-20 to a 60-40 that may have occurred in response to the price spike. So what we can do to take a little bit better look at some of this these changes in market share is to use some of our proprietary research. One of the tools that we'll be using is our retail monitor. The retail monitor is an audit that we conduct. It's something that we conduct each quarter. We take a look at over 100,000 different items in stores around the U.S. Each year. This audit, where we go into stores and take a look at what's on the shelves, take a look at prices, fiber content, where things were manufactured, is conducted in 26 retailers. We go across the whole scope of retailers, going from mass merchants through chain department and also specialty stores. So it's one data source that we'll be taking a look at in this presentation. Another data source that some of you may be more familiar with is that of our lifestyle monitor. We've been conducting this since the 1990s. We annually conduct interviews with over 6,000 respondents. The distribution of this survey is lined up to meet the primary decision makers regarding clothing purchases, majority of that being female. We're also taking a look at the purchasing population between 13 and 70 for other demographic distributions that lines up with the U.S. Census. So we're going to take a look at some of this data that we have from some of the proprietary data sources that we have at Cotton Incorporated. Here we're going to take a look at some figures from the retail monitor. As we were talking about earlier, a limitation of some of the import data is that we only can take a look at those 50% categories. Using the retail monitor, we can split things up how we want. What we're taking a look at here is just whether products being offered contain any one of these fibers. So you take a look at those figures for cotton. For menswear, we see a decline of about 7 percentage points. So that's a decline of items containing any cotton decreasing about 7 percentage points in 2012 relative to where it was in 2011. If you take a look at where some of that shift has gone to, polyester is primarily the main culprit. We've seen an increase in terms of the items containing polyester going up by about 6 percentage points. Rayon has also increased a little bit. The rayon's presence has increased by about 2 percentage points. So we have seen some loss in menswear. The loss we've seen in womenswear has actually been a little bit higher. You take a look at products containing cotton. It's decreased by about 9 percentage points between 2011 and 2012. Once again, polyester is the main problem, with items containing polyester increasing 10 percentage points over the past year. Rayon also has increased its presence. So taking a little bit closer look in terms of what's going on in menswear, what's going on in terms of category. Take a look at denim jeans. Change in cotton's presence has been relatively flat. While you take a look at other product categories, it has been decreasing somewhat. When we take a look at what's been going on in terms of men's pants and knit shirts, what we've seen in terms of the shifting, we have seen some movement away from 100% cotton offerings to mid-range cotton blends, maybe going from 100% cotton to 80-20 or 60-40. If you take a look at men's woven shirts and also active or sportswear, we've seen decreasing from 100% cotton offerings and an increase in offerings that contain absolutely no cotton. So we've seen a shift from 100% cotton goods to 100% poly or 100% potentially rayon items in those categories. So even as retailers have substituted for some low-cost fibers for these different product categories, what we have seen is the average asking price at retail has increased for essentially all items. Take a look at the situation for women's wear, somewhat similar to what's going on in the men's wear market. We see denim jeans, cotton's present being relatively stable, while we have seen decreases in cotton's presence for other major product categories. We take a look at the women's market or take a look at women's pants. There's been a shift away from 100% cotton offerings to mid-range cotton blends. So once again, we're taking a look at a shift from 100% cotton pants to maybe 80-20, 60-40 blends for women's bottoms. Taking a look at women's tops and activewear, there's been a decrease in 100% cotton offerings. An increase is an offering that contained no cotton, so somewhat similar to what we saw in the men's market where we're seeing shifts from 100% cotton to 100% poly or 100% rayon. Also, similar to what we saw in the menswear market, we did see increases in prices across all product categories. That is one of the major factors that is affecting consumer demand in the U.S. and also around the world. Take a look at the CPI here in the U.S. is the entire history going back to the 1990s. You can see the increases that followed the spike we had in fiber prices were some of the first that we have seen in well over 20 years, or about 15 to 20 years. The size of the increase where we've been in 2011 relative to where we were in 2010 is more than a 5% increase. Take a look at where we've been more recently in 2012, particularly during the holiday season, we're up only about 1% year on year. So prices are higher, but they are starting to stabilize potentially. This is something else that feeds into the overall picture in terms of what's going on in demand in the U.S. market. Of course, the macroeconomic situation in the U.S. could be a little bit better than what we were all hoping. And that, combined with the higher prices that we're seeing for apparel, has resulted in some changes in consumer behavior. So what we're taking a look at here is some data from our Lifestyle Monitor. This is the second proprietary data set that we're sharing with you guys in addition to a retail monitor. And what we're taking a look at is some responses to these surveys. What you can see is that in the 2012 data, consumers are reporting that they are spending less money than they did back in 2008. Take a look at some other government data, spending figures are actually flat to a little bit higher. So some differences here between our data or what consumers are saying they're spending and what the government's saying consumers are actually spending. But once again, what the important story here is that we are seeing a new pragmatism develop among U.S. consumers. The macroeconomic environment is not so hot. We are taking a look at some increases in clothing prices. As a result, consumers have become a little bit more strategic when they look at purchasing apparel. Consumers are increasingly shopping at multiple stores, so they are doing comparison shopping, seeing where they can get the best deal for their clothes. They are spending more time planning purchases. Of course, the internet and smartphones are a big component of that. And once again, they are looking for items on sale. So with higher prices and with some uncertainty regarding incomes, consumers are paying attention in terms of where they are spending their money. So consumers are looking for value, and of course an important part of the value equation is quality. So as a result, we may want to take a look at what consumers actually define as quality. Once again, we're doing that by using some data from the Lifestyle Monitor. At the top of the list, something that has been at the top of the list for some time, is durability and long-lasting properties in the clothing that they buy. So with the new pragmatism being in place, consumers are wanting any clothing that they're buying, they want it to last a long time. Some other elements that they identify as being associated with high quality is it'd be made of good or strong fibers, made well, good value, worth the money. Brand is not very important. So we're talking about value being very important to the consumers in terms of how they define quality. Here we can take a look at how long consumers expect different apparel items to last. If they buy some outerwear, of course, which is one of our more expensive product categories, they expect that to last a long time. Sweaters, they expect to last about 5 years. Taking a look at dress pants and jeans, they expect those to last about 4 years. We take a look at some of the tops, they can tolerate those lasting a little bit less time. Something else that's interesting to point out about this data is that regardless of where consumers shop, so whether if they're shopping at Walmart or whether they're shopping at Saks Fifth Avenue, they basically expect their clothing to last about the same amount of time. So these durability expectations hold up across different channels. So once again, take another look at some of the pragmatism that consumers are really focusing in on over the past couple years. They are paying attention to the changes in prices. When we take a look at our survey data from our Lifestyle Monitor, consumers are reporting that they have detected increases in retail apparel prices, with over 70% of respondents saying that prices in 2012 increased relative to where they were in 2011. In addition to that, they also have a series of complaints regarding the quality of the apparel that they bought in 2012 relative to where it was in 2011. So you see the majority of consumers saying that the apparel that they're buying is not lasting as long. And of course, durability is number one on consumers' quality lists. They are noticing thinner fabrics, so they're seeing some cheapening once again in perception of value. About half of respondents have noticed some fiber substitution, and about 40% or a little bit more than 40% have recognized that quality has decreased. So the bottom line here, once again, is consumers are paying attention to where their money's going. They are focused in on quality, and they are perceiving that they are paying more but getting less quality. So they're seeing some disruption in terms of their value equation. And just to maybe bring this a little bit more into perspective, at Cotton Incorporated also we've been very active in terms of taking a look at product reviews for different items. So in addition to the survey data that we're using, we're also able to zoom in on individual products. And what we're sharing with you here are some comments that we've pulled from some retailer websites. First one I'll share with you is just taking a look at a pair of jeans that a consumer bought at a mid-range specialty retailer. They had purchased this pair of jeans in the past, and it was a pair of jeans that they really enjoyed. They went back and bought what they thought was the same pair of jeans, but as you can see, they were very disappointed with what they purchased, and they're promising that they won't shop at this retailer again, at least to purchase jeans. Something else that we can take a look at in terms of another comment, this is also for a pair of pants. This is for a very high-end pair of pants. This is a blend, and what you can notice is that the consumer did notice that even though they paid nearly $400 for this pair of pants, it only can hold up to three washings. So we're seeing, once again, these changes show up across the marketing channels. So consumers, they are paying attention, they are seeing some shifts, they have seen some decreases in quality over the past year. Here are some other results from our Lifestyle Monitor survey. What we're doing is just taking a look at the percentage of consumers that are reporting that they're bothered by switching in fibers for different product categories. What you can see is the categories that they're most offended when they switch away from cotton are the ones that are most close to the body. So you'll take a look at T-shirts. You know, of course, they have contact with the skins. Consumers are bothered by fiber substitution there. Also with jeans, underwear, towels, sheets. Once again, things that have contact with the skin. The majority of consumers saying they're bothered by switching. Another sort of follow-up point here that we've addressed through our Lifestyle Monitor survey is to take a look at consumers' willingness to pay more to keep cotton in their clothing. So consumers are reporting they are willing to pay more to keep the fiber that they desire in the products that they buy. And you can see the majority of consumers are willing to maintain that for those products, once again, that they keep closest to their skin, which would be T-shirts, denim jeans, underwear, and, of course, some of our home furnishings. And, of course, this is important to us because this is also where a lot of the bale equivalence is driven, is in terms of T-shirts and jeans. So this is good news for us potentially going forward, particularly if consumers follow up on what they report they are willing to pay. So to bring all this sort of into summary, take a look at cotton's new reality. Our retail monitor research has found that even though cotton is being substituted for other low-cost fibers, such as polyester, we are seeing asking prices or average prices at retail. They have risen. Some of the data from our lifestyle monitor research indicates that while consumers have become more price conscious and pragmatic in terms of their shopping habits, they're still looking for very quality items, in particular taking a look at durability and items that will last a long time. So once again, the bottom line here is that consumers are paying more, or they're perceiving that they're paying more and getting lower quality, so they're seeing a disruption in terms of their cost price value equation. They are relatively unhappy. So as a result, we are hopeful that we will see retailers respond to some of these consumer preferences. They will bring some cotton back, and we will see cotton's market share recover from some of the loss that we've seen over the past year. And with that, so this concludes the presentation. Once again, I'm speaking on behalf of Justin Coates. If you do have any questions, I can do my best to answer them, but also would strongly encourage you to get in contact with him. His email is located here at the bottom of the slide.
Thank you.